Okay, venerable brothers, Dhamma friends. So, welcome all of you to English Dhamma discussion. So today, since Bante Dhammajiva is not available, so till he returns, we'll be having the Dhamma discussion, English Dhamma discussion on Thursdays. And nowadays we are discussing Sangyutta Nikaya, Devata Sangyutta. We are connected discourses are included, and we were going one after the other. And now we have to discuss on Sarasutta, talking about the streams. So let me recite the Pali verse, and then Venerable Dhammosada will recite the English translation, and Venerable Dhammalankara recite the Sinhala translation, and then we'll have a good discussion. So this is how it starts. Ekamantang tithakosa devata bhagavantang gathaya ajjabasi. Kuto sara nivattanti katha vattang navattati katha namancha rupancha ase saṁ uparujyati iti. So then Buddha answers, yatha apocha patavi tejo vayo nagadati ato sara nivattanti etha vattang navattati etha namancha rupancha ase saṁ uparujyati iti. So we'll see the Sinhala translation and then the English translation, and we'll see how we can explain this.
අවසරයි ස්වාමීන් වහන්ස. සර සූත්‍රය සවැත් නුවර එකත්පසක සිටි ඒ දෙවිතෙමේ භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේට ගාථායින් කීය. සංසාර ප්‍රවාහයෝ කොහි පවතිද්ද? සසරවැසි කොහි නොවසීද? නාමයත් රූපයත් කොතැන්හි නිරවශේෂයෙන් නිරුද්ධ වේද? භගවත්තු යම් තැනක ආපෝ ධාතුවත් පඨවි ධාතුවත් තේජෝ ධාතුවත් වායෝ ධාතුවත් නොපිහිටාද මෙහි සංසාර ප්‍රවාහයෝ නවතිත්. මෙහි සසර වැසි නොවසි. මෙහි නාමයත් රූපයත් නිරවශේෂයෙන් නිරුද්ධ වෙයි.
අවසයි ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ. සංයුත්ත නිකාය ට්‍රාන්ස්ලේෂන් බයි බිකු බෝඩි 27th සූත්‍ර. The title is Streams. The Deva asks, from where do the streams turn back? Where does the round no longer revolve? Where does name and form cease, stop without remainder? And the Buddha responds, where water, earth, fire, and air do not gain a footing, it is from here that the streams turn back, here that the round no longer revolves, here name and form ceases, stops without remainder.
Yeah, actually it's a very, very deep topic. Because it's talking about the Nibbana directly. So the Nibbanic state in the mind. So the question is, where are the various streams? In that sense, we can say different kinds of floods. But we can see the floods of defilements. How those streams, the floods of defilements, are not flowing. And put it in a different way, telling Yatta apocha patavi tejo vayo nagadati. So that means, so the patavi apo tejo vayo, that means the earth, water, air, and the heat. So they can't find a footing. So they can't establish, basically. So now if we can look at that, the statement. So there was an interesting incident where one monk during the Buddha's time, so he wanted to find a place where the patavi apo tejo vayo completely cease. That means they are not manifesting, they are not completely, they are not available, there's a complete void like. And he is asking from various devas. Now he didn't want to ask, I don't know why, he didn't want to ask from the Buddha, he went from Brahma realm to Brahma realm, Brahma realm to Brahma realm, keep on asking where these four elements ultimately completely cease. And he ultimately reaches the Mahabrahma, the higher deity, and he asks the same question from him, and there's an interesting incident. And when the gathering was there, when the question was asked, so the Brahma also didn't want to answer because he also don't know. So then he takes the monk privately and he mentioned, okay, why did you come all this long? You should have asked that from the Buddha, and he is there. He should be able to answer that question. So then he returned back And he explained the Buddha, okay, Bhante, where is this four elements ultimately cease? Then Buddha corrects the question, telling it's not proper to ask where the all four elements completely cease, completely destroyed. Rather, you better ask the question like, where these four elements do not find a footing, do not find a footing. They are not manifesting. So that should be the way you should ask. And can anyone remember the answer that Buddha given? Vinyanam anidassanam anantam sabbato pabham yattha apocha patavi tejo vayo nagadati. So the same thing. Yattha apocha patavi tejo vayo nagadati. So here also Buddha mentioned yattha apocha patavi tejo vayo nagadati. Same statement. So here the answer is not given basically. Where? It is not exactly indicated. But rather it is simply saying there is a possibility that the patavi apo tejo vayo do not find a footing. There is a possibility, there is a sort of a potential, a state where patavi apo tejo vayo do not find a footing. Not only that, etta namancha rupancha asesam uparujjati. Name and form is completely also abolished like. Name and form is also not presenting. So there is no name and form, almost like. So that is the place all the floods are not flowing. That is the place all the different kinds of defilements are not flowing. So what is it? Nibbana. So we can simply say the Nibbanic state in a way. So how Buddha explained it in detail in the Kevadda Sutta, that is what I referred, where the monk is going round after one deity to the another deity. So that is explained in the Diga Nikaya Kevadda Sutta. So the Buddha's answer is more descriptive. So there, after he basically corrected the question, then he gave a fairly comprehensive answer. Vinyanam anidassanam anantam sabbato pabham yattha apocha patavi tejo vayo nagadati etta digancha ratthancha anungthulang subhasubham etta namancha rupancha asesam uparujjati Vinyanas Nirodhena Ette Sang Uparujjati. A very comprehensive answer is there. And again, it's a kind of a difficult verse. And sometimes people even confuse. And even the commentary has given a different kind of an answer. But fortunately, certain scholars like Katukurunde Jnananda Thero and Venerable Bhikkhu Analeo, so they have given a fairly reasonable answer. Depending on the context and analyzing different other suttas like this, so what Buddha wants to communicate. So if we can look at the state that what Buddha is talking, let me come with a simple state starting from very beginning. Now suppose you are practicing say Dhatu Manasikara, elements meditation, say you started with walking meditation, and again you are paying your attention to the foot, and again recognizing hardness, softness, roughness, smoothness, heaviness, lightness, vibrations, movements, heat, cold. So what are they? So those are the elements. Actually, that is how the elements are, that is how we can recognize the manifestation of the elements. So elements are everywhere in the physical realm, either we as ourselves, as personally, as inside or externally, all whatever the physical phenomena. So we can say they are comprising of the elements. They are made up with elements. So what we are experiencing right now is the manifestation of the elements. Now we can recognize, okay, we all are sitting and we can see the hardness. We can probably see the softness. We can feel certain amount of a cold, a kind of a temperature, and we can feel the air. So all that are manifestation of the elements in a way. So now say for example, when one is continuing the practice more and more, suppose now he is practicing elements meditation during the walking, during the sitting. So likewise as he continues, now suppose previously, before his practice, his mind is filled with so many things. about his brother, about his sister, about his children, about his wife, about his husband, about politics, about different worlds, this and that. So many things are very much covered in his mind. So mind is filled with so many things. Now, all those, now if we say they are all physical phenomena, so we can say, so all different physical phenomena has found a footing. So they are representing in our minds. Probably I am touching it, now I can feel it. I am experiencing it, I can feel it. Again, I have experienced something, and that also I can imagine, I can remember, I can even think about it. So likewise, many physical phenomena, either they may be animate ones or inanimate ones, everything has somehow occupied our mind. So can you, with that response, can you give me a kind of an idea, because of the practice of elements meditation, what happened to us? Osada, can you tell?
Bhante, if I understand correctly, you're asking, when our mind is filled with all these sorts of phenomena,
mm-hmm.
what happens?
Yeah, that's typically our minds are filled with so much of all these different phenomena. Mind is fully covered with them. Now, suppose someone is practicing mindfulness, someone is practicing elements meditation in particular. So, is there any difference now happening into his mind?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think the meditator starts to experience the corresponding elements related to those thoughts.
Those thoughts.
That arising in the mind.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's also a good idea. Now, that means so he can experience different elements, and now more than he imagined about them, he can directly experience them. So that's what you want to communicate?
Yes, for example, anger arises and they feel a experience of heat.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, that is one area. But other than that, now say for example, you had a good breakfast and you are quite satisfied with it. And now you want to have it tomorrow also. Probably you can memorize what you had, and certain thoughts also come to your mind about the food and about the delicious whatever thing. So what happened to such thing? Now what I want to say is, now say different physical objects are there. So we call them objects. We give names, many names are there. So many names are there. So we are very clever in putting names, giving names, adding labels. And ultimately, what happened to the mind because of these physical objects? Sorry? Desires are there. And that means, so mind is fully occupied with these objects. Because the mind is filled with so many objects. So because of our practice, what happened then? So we can say we are going more into the kind of elements, that means very primary, fundamental level we are going. So because right now what we have is kind of a man-made, fairly conceptualized objects are there. Now say for example, I simply say this is a cell phone. Is this, I am talking at the elementary level, or am I talking about a very sophisticated, fairly complicated conceptual level? I am talking a very complex, fairly complicated level, conceptual level I am talking, and I am simply, to make it simple, I am telling, okay, this is a cell phone. But if we analyze it thoroughly, divide it into pieces, ultimately what it has, we can simply say the four elements. So typically what happens is, so when we are giving names like that, we bundle things together, we assemble things, we put them into a particular package, kind of a wrapper, and beautify it, and say then give it a name. So it's a bundle actually, it's a assembly. And then what happened to us is, we ignorantly consider it as one unit. Just a one thing is there. This is a cell phone, I like it, this is my cell phone, I can't give it to you, it was given to me someone, and blah blah blah, so many things are there. So easily I get attached to it. I can have conceit about it, I can have love about it, hate about it, because this is something. This is cell phone. But if we go to the fairly primary level, so ultimately I can't find a cell phone. So what I experience may be hardness, softness, roughness, smoothness, vibrations. So all the physical objects ultimately drill down to these very basic elements. So that is what we are trying to touch through our practice. Rather than we completely stray in the conceptual realm, now we fairly abandon the concepts and we go to the very fundamental characteristics, fundamental elements. So assume that we are practicing like that. So now we are not entertaining too much thoughts, we are not entertaining too many images, rather we are more and more investigating the elements. So ultimately, after some time, probably you might think, okay, everywhere elements are there. So when you have such perception, say internal also elements, external also elements, so when you have such perception, what would happen to your typical reaction? Now say when many objects are there before your practice, you want it, you want to grasp it, I want it, I want to own it, I want to buy it, I want to make it mine. So likewise, a huge attachment is there, a huge kind of a craving is there. Now suppose after you practice elements meditation, then how, what needs to happen to our mind? Yeah.
By practicing meditation on the elements, one sees the impersonality.
Oh yeah, that's one thing. Yeah. We may see the elements because there is no self there. There is no such a compact object. Everything has very much like disintegrated. So would you like it?
No.
So when everything appear like a dust or kind of a smoke, so can we make my mother there, father there, son there, daughter there, wife there, husband there? So we can't, because everything has very much like disintegrated, almost like a smoke. So there is the compactness very much like broken. Compactness is no more there. What we call the ganasanya. The compactness was no more there. So we can't, you know, hold it as such, like before. Things are there, but they also now like disintegrate. So mind can't comprehend a compact object. Rather, he see everywhere the mere elements are there. So you become more and more dispassionate. So rather than passionate about objects, you become more dispassionate. Now say for example like this, another example. Previously, before your practice, say per hour, say you remember, say 1,000 or 1,000,000 such physical objects. Say your mind has touched, thought, remembered, imagined about 1,000,000 objects, physical objects. Objects are there. You remembered your house, you remembered your son, you remembered your cell phone, you remembered your car, you remembered your pen. So many things are there for us, no? Nowadays, so many things are there. So within an hour, how many objects are you typically thinking? Almost like unimaginable amount. Now, after practice, after the practice, what do you think? Same amount? Then 1,000,000 or 2,000,000 or less than that?
After practice, all solid forms fall into the earth element,
yeah.
The same.
Like that. Yeah, that's correct. So all the different solid objects, conceptualized so-called objects, very much like disintegrated, and they are fairly simplified into four elements in a way. So then it is very difficult to grasp. So we can't attach to them, we can't hold them, we can't like them. So how many times you get again trapped in those objects? Or are you able to completely be in the fairly wise state that they are merely elements? So how you may measure the progress? How you are measuring? So which way we need to turn? The more we grasp, more we have so many objects, or now we have less grasping and we have less objects. There are many elements, mere elements. So that is where the more progress, right? So no grasping is there, not many objects, not many visualizations happen in the mind. Everything has become elements. So what do you think? Now those objects, do they find a footing in your mind now? Now basically they are not finding a footing in your mind now. When your mind is wise, rather than ignorant, rather now the mind is fairly wise and it is well established in the understanding of the elements. So till that understanding is there, so your mind doesn't want to grasp. Your mind does not want to entertain them as different objects because you thoroughly understood it. You thoroughly understood it. So this is very well explained in the Mula Pariyaya Sutta. So typically what happens is a typical worldly being, so whenever he sees this, for him this is the cell phone. This is a mere cell phone. And he recognizes it as a cell phone. This is my cell phone. This is someone else has given me. He's a really good person. He donated it to me. I like him and this is a good one. This is a Samsung cell phone. Blah, blah, blah. So this is how he thinks. This is how he conceive, proliferate. Now, after practice, what happens? Assume that this is given. So, he, if necessary, he can recognize it as a cell phone, true, but it is made up with the very basic primary elements, and I don't want to proliferate about it. I don't want to proliferate about it. I don't want to become obsessed about it. I can use it and keep it aside and keep the mind fairly quiet without too much entanglement with it. So, that is where the typically in the Mula Pariyaya Sutta, Buddha say the trainee is now trying to restrain his mind. Rather than proliferate, he is now minimizing the proliferation. He is reducing the proliferation. What would be the situation for the Arahant? No proliferation at all. No conceiving at all. He may use it, but no proliferation, no conceiving. And he, because he understood it thoroughly, it's a kind of an assemble of things. So basically, in the Arahant's mind, therefore, this Patavi Apo Tejo Vayo cannot find a footing. So therefore, no point of we are using a spaceship and going after universe to universe or planet to planet to find out a place, a kind of a vacuum where there is no earth, fire, water and all that. So rather, what we need to do is to develop the mind. So that mind does not have any traces even about the physical entities, physical objects. So through the elements meditation, we may temporarily at least, we'll get such state. Say when your mind is fairly developed and uplifted, fairly strengthened through the wisdom. So at that moment you may find out, okay, I don't have any images in the mind. I'm not remembering my house. I'm not remembering about my, say, kids, my wife, my husband, the president, the country, all these different objects. So these objects are mere concepts. So you are able to keep them aside. So the mind is fairly relaxed, completely spacious, and it has nothing basically. So vijnanam anidassanam. So that means in the consciousness, it is non-manifestative. Vijnanam anidasana means it's a non-manifestative type of consciousness where it doesn't have anything representing. Now say for example, if you have a canvas which has a very beautiful image, a kind of an artwork drawn there, and once you see that artwork, there may be a possibility you slowly get absorbed to that artwork. An artwork is so beautiful, really fantastic, wonderful. And you slowly you start imagining about it, thinking about it. And you ultimately even lost in it. Because that artwork is so beautiful. So you almost like infatuated about it. Now assume that there is no artwork. Completely empty. Canvas is purely empty. What happened to you? Nothing is there. I mean, you are very really alive and you are fully conscious. You are utterly in the present moment. You are not trapped in anything. Your mind is not tangled. Your mind is not trapped. So similarly, when our minds are occupied with so many objects, typically we can call them as name and form, nama rupa, and we have a little desire to it. We like it. We promote it. And we add many things to it, and then it becomes more and more, it's growing. Ultimately, the whole mind is covered by it. It may have started with a very little thing, but ultimately it is going vast, and ultimately you are fully overwhelmed by that, fully covered by that. You are lost in it. That is where we are basically obsessed about it and completely overwhelmed by it, grasped that particular phenomena, and we lost. But on the other hand, when say you are peaceful and you are completely calm, relaxed and wise, so your mind has to be empty, completely kind of transparent. Nothing is manifested in the mind. So nothing is drawn in the canvas, something like that. So the canvas is empty. Canvas is pure, something like that. So anything you like to contribute, Patrick, right?
Yes, hello. I don't think there's very much to contribute. It's very, very clear.
Clear.
I think the explaining is very, very clear.
Right. Is it, if I ask you a question, is it a narrow state or expanded state?
I imagine it's a very expanded state where the four elements, but also the mental phenomena have plenty of space. And they come and go, and you don't really need to act on them.
So your mind become more spacious and expanded.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So as we are progressing, so it is not that we constrict the mind or restrict the mind, confine the mind. Rather, we have to open it up. So the mind become expanded. So vijnana anidassanam anantam. Anantam becomes there no boundary. So the mind has to become boundless.
Yeah.
Open up.
It's a stepping back, I think, sometimes. Stepping back a little bit.
Maybe, yeah. So, typically we were tangled with phenomena, so we step back. We step back from the phenomena, now they fall apart, so they become almost like elements, so no point of grasping, so they become null and void, invalidated, and so you step back and you become expanded, kind of. Yeah, correct. So, basically, if we are able to have such a state in our mind, kind of an expanded state, fairly spacious state, non-grasping state, and it is not established on anywhere, anisita, we call anisita, not established anywhere, non-grasping, anupadana, so all these are real good fruits of the vipassana. So Buddha again and again emphasized in the Satipatthana Sutta, the ultimate, or rather we can say one important result of the practice is Anisitocha vihirati nachakinchinoki upadit. So he is capable of living without any establishment, without any association, without depending on anything. So his mind has to become more and more independent, more and more free, free from grasping, free from all these different manifestations, free from all these tanglements. So mind has to basically release in a way. It has to find a freedom. The freed mind. Freed mind, a free mind, expanded mind. So, on such state, this phenomena, patavi apo tejo vayo, can't find a footing. They are not representing. Their images are not drawn in the canvas. They are not drawn in the canvas. So, all everything come and simply go. They do not plant in it. They do not find a footing in it. They are not find a root in it, simply they come and go, they simply slip away. So mind remains calm, quiet, relaxed, expanded, spacious, something like that. So that's why this this verse, even though it's a very short one, it's talking utter depth. Yattha poja patavi tejo vayo nagadati ettanamancha rupancha asesang uparujjati. Even the name and form completely ceased. So, typically when the name and form is there, the consciousness get tangled in it. Now, say for example, while you are meditating, assume that you are able to find a very calm state, relaxed state, spacious state. All of a sudden, assume that you get a little image about a chocolate, maybe a dark chocolate. So for us only that allowed, say for example, maybe about a dark chocolate. And you remember, okay, one devotee, he came from Singapore, he came from Australia, he was generously donated it. Oh my goodness, it's a dark chocolate. I can allow to eat it. Oh, dark chocolate. Now you slowly add to that, you like it, you preferred. Slowly, it is expanding, so it's occupying. So previously, mind was nothing. Mind has nothing. But now, dark chocolate comes and occupies in the mind. So you like it, you prefer it, you want it, I want to eat it. So you are adding more and more to it. Ultimately, you can't simply meditate now. So you want to get up. You want to reach where it is. So you use your legs and foot, all these different other senses, six sense bases, salayatana. And now you approach there, you touch it, you break it, you eat it. Salayatana paccaya passo. Passa paccaya vedana, you feel the pleasurable feeling. You like it more, the grasping happens, the tanha happens, the craving happens. You just want to enjoy it while closing your eyes. Oh my goodness. So you are fully in it. You are trapped in it. So that is how the, you know, that dependency, you know, the dependent origination, the sama, what's called the patisamuppada. So that's how we promoted it. Again we go and grasp it. We again go and have a personality, a person, oh, I am enjoying, it is so beautiful, fantastic. So you are in a completely out of the mind situation, ignorant situation or unmindful situation. So that is where you are born into a new situation. You are trapped, basically. So name and form has completely overwhelmed the consciousness. Now the consciousness is fully trapped, ignorant. But here at the nibbanic state, the opposite has to happen. So mind has to be fully empty. There can't be any name and form. So mind has to be like kind of a transparent, luminous. Vijnanam anidasanam anantam sabbatopabam. Anantam means it's almost like infinite, boundless, no boundary, no limit. And it is illuminated with wisdom. Pabhang means the vijnana, like the last time also we discussed about the luminosity of the wisdom is now available in the mind. So it is dispelling all the defilements. All the defilements are now dispelled, abandoned. So the floods of the streams or the floods of the defilements, streams of the defilements are not flowing now. Very, very deep. So I think if it is enough for me, you can talk now. Ato sara nivattanti etta vattan navattati. So that is why Buddha mentioned, so that is the state where the streams are not flowing. So you are not under the influence of any defilements now. The flows or the streams of defilements are not flowing now. You are peaceful.
Swaminasa, what's this understanding actually? Are we talking about the four elements? Like, is it just like a base level understanding, like the hardness, the softness, or some other related thing? Or like is it like in Abhidharma it says that there's prajñāpti and nāmarūpa, and we jump in to the deepest form of these elements, like the final form, the purest form. Is it this understanding are we talking about?
Yeah, in Abhidharma it's talking about 28 types of rūpa are there. So they are trying to analyze it in detail. But the most important thing is, are we able to practically experience them? Actually, we are continuously experiencing them, but we are not looking at from that angle. What I am touching is the cell phone. So immediately I am going to the concepts. I can't simply recognize the hardness. I am not going to the hardness. I am not recognizing the weight of this. I immediately being caught. This is my cell phone. Immediately I am trapped in the concepts. Now, in the practice, so rather than going and trapped in the concepts, you have to come to the very basics. So when I am holding it, primarily what I am experiencing, direct experience is the most prominent thing. Hardness is something I am experiencing, maybe a little temperature I am experiencing, weight I am experiencing, maybe a little softness on the surface I am experiencing. So these are the very basic characteristics I am experiencing, and I don't need even a language to do it. You don't need to know any language. You don't need to know Sinhalese or Tamil or English or anything to know that. But to communicate, probably you need a language. To talk to another person, to write a book, you need a language. Then you complicate the whole thing. You step out from that simplicity. So the elements meditation help us to come back to that simplicity, to that very basic fundamental roots from which we have conceptualized many things, build up so many things. So ultimately what happens is all these man-made concepts are working directly as traps to us. So we can't penetrate it now. So when we are born to the world, so we are introduced directly to these concepts. And slowly, slowly we are filling our mind. Ultimately what we end up with is a very complicated, fairly comprehensive, extremely conceptualized world. So I am in this world. So the practice help us to go to that in kind of innocence, go to that the fundamental characteristics, direct touch, and you don't need even a language. Very basic characteristics are there. So it is not that you are trying to imagine what is available in the Abhidhamma or anything. Rather, you directly experience it without conceptualizing it. Say when you are touching, you may feel hardness. So you don't need to conceptualize it. You can directly experience it. So like that. So elements meditation help us to directly touch, directly connect with that elements. Their manifestation.
So in one sense, is this also called this Yathabhuta Jnana?
Exactly. Exactly. So you see things as they truly are. Rather than adding your own stuff, rather than complicating the whole thing, you are putting your likes and dislikes onto it without conceptualizing it. So you are keeping things as it is. Keeping things almost like at their very earlier stage, fundamental stage, without putting your hand, without fabricating it. Very difficult actually, because we used to fabricate. We used to conceptualize. Slowly our practice help us to minimize it, step out, step back, keep it as it is and simply observe it, and then it may show its true nature. Something like that. Yeah. Oh, Sada, you have to teach something now. I am tired.
Asrai Bhante.
How are you, Kumar?
I am fine, thank you, Bhante. Bhante, there is one question raised in the chat here.
Uh-huh.
Let me read for you.
Yeah,
Venerable, would you be able to share why we predominantly talk about the four main elements? Why not consider the space and consciousness respectfully? That's all, Bhante.
Yeah. So typically, if we even include the full picture, so then we have to add another two elements called the space element and the consciousness element. That is one explanation given by the Buddha. So there are six types of elements. Padavi, Apo, Tejo, Vayo, Akasa, Vinyana. So the Akasa is where we can find certain space in between elements, where almost like absence of elements so that is where the space is occupied like. So what is consciousness? So the consciousness element actually is kind of an umbrella term there. All the different mentalities are represented in the consciousness element. So it is not just the mere consciousness we are talking there. Rather, we can say the whole mentality is included there. So that is why typically, the elements explanation is one way of explaining things. And there is another way of, say, six sense bases. That is another explanation. And then five aggregates, another explanation. So likewise, different explanations are there. Now, say, for example, in the five aggregates. So five aggregates. So here elements are given only just 1/5 rupakkhanda. There are other four aggregates representing the namakkhanda, the what we call this mentality side. Feelings are there, perceptions are there, formations are there, then the consciousness is there. So in the consciousness element, therefore we can say according to the aggregates, there are four aggregates. Not mere consciousness, it has the manifestation of the perceptions, feelings, different mental formations and the consciousness. Everything is included in the consciousness aggregate. Sorry, in the consciousness element. Now, in order to know the consciousness element, actually you need to find out its function. So the basic function of the consciousness is to distinctly know things, distinctly say there are many objects available and it can distinctly locate and recognize something, cognize something. So cognition is the primary action of the consciousness. Vijanati, recognition, cognition we can say. So likewise, I can say more detail about it, but so anyway, I think it's enough.
Asai Bhante, a newly born child.
Newly born child. Mm-hmm.
An infant lying on his back has no conception of hardness, but no conception of heat.
So no this, conception.
No perception. They don't have an idea of this is hard, this is soft, this is cold, this is warm. So this baby is at peace. There are no elements for this baby.
We can't say so. Now, say for example, there is a burning lamp next to him. It's very beautiful. He is putting his hand closer to the lamp, to the flame. What happened?
He immediately withdraws his hand.
Withdraws. Why? Start burning.
Yeah.
So the elements are there.
So it does not depend on whether they are able to know it or not. The elements are there.
So we are born with elements. I mean, we can't, in the physical realm, we can't live without elements. So we are in the physical realm, no? We are in the physical realm, so our bodies are made up with elements. We are eating elements, and we are living with elements. So we can't go out of the elements, so that is one approach that the people have taken. So they found there's a problem with this elements, or rather the physical realm. So let me go to the immaterial realm, Arupa Loka. Because this Rupa Loka has a friction. It has some friction. So I can't find peace there. So I want to go out of the physical realm. So they try to find Nibbana in the Arupa realm, Arupa Jahana. And ultimately in the Arupa realm. Akasa Nanchayatana means there is no friction coming through this physical realm, physical objects, physical materiality. No material there. So the even though the kid doesn't know various terms and names and all that concepts, but still he's experiencing all these, experiencing the manifestation of the elements. So his mind is not free from all this. We can't say so.
Right, yeah. So anyways, this topic also reminds me of the daily reflections of the four requisites. Mm. Tadupa bunjako, chapugalo, dhatu matako.
These sato nijivo sunyo. Yeah.
The elements that we are utilizing, they are made of bare. The requisites that we are utilizing are made of bare elements, just like ourselves.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So the Buddha makes it very clear. So as you practice, you have to come to a kind of an understanding. So there is no a division like internal and external. So that internal, external division become blurred. Because here also you find elements and there also you find elements. So where is the line? So we can't find a line, okay, saying, okay, this is internal elements, they are external elements. So rather, so you can't find a line and you simply recognize, oh, they are mere elements. Yachevakopana ajjattika patavidhatu, yacha bahira patavidhatu, patavidhatu revesa. So Buddha mentioned, okay, whatever so-called internal earth element, whatever so-called external earth element, so they are merely earth element. And so your body become almost like blurred into the space. You can't find a limitation or parametric kind of a space to your body. It has blurred like. So when you are practicing elements meditation, you may get such a perception. Your body almost like disintegrated into the universe. So you can't find a compact body now. You can't perceive a compact body. Say you close your eyes previously, before your good practice, say you have, okay, you know, okay, this is the head, this is the ears, shoulders, blah, 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 all things are there, a fairly compact, solid body. After elements meditation, again you are trying to perceive, you can't find a boundary, blurred, internal, external, you can't tell like that, where are the internal part, where are the external, because everywhere elements, something like that. So the body has blurred into the space, like, it can happen. So it's a very strong insight a yogi might get. So he, now he can't clearly comprehend the limitation, the boundary of the body. You can't name it like. So during your practice, almost like you do not exist. Non-self. So typically we identify with the body as a self, no? Now you have nothing to identify as a self. Body is blurred. A completely non-self, a kind of experience with non-self. So you become nobody, almost like. Good, good. Anybody? From nobody to anybody?
when you get this kind of spacious feeling and you are do not really feel where things are, or you just feel vibrations or things like that, wouldn't walking meditation be boring to you? I mean, why would I go about feeling my foot? So could you help me with this, because I had problems last night.
So basically at that moment
I get this boredom somehow.
So basically now you don't need to forcefully put your attention to the elements, rather than you can simply watch the mind, because mind, so the task of the elements meditation is almost like completed. That is to completely purify the mind. So previously your mind is occupied, polluted with the perceptions of the various objects, conceptualized objects. But you understood what is underneath. So they are primary elements, and so no more objects. So the mind has erased all that. Mind again become empty, fully spacious. The task of the medicine is done. Now you can simply stay here. Rather than put your attention to the body, now you can simply watch the mind. Mind also has nothing. Simply keep your mind spacious and just walk. For the sake of walking, just walk, but simply looking at the mind. Keeping the mind completely empty, pure, no defilements, and just walk, by the way. And when you see, your mind also not establish even what you see. Even though you hear, your mind do not being distracted to what you hear. It is having a rest in this spaciousness. Something like that.
But I guess you need to be very peaceful with the environment, because if you hear the, I don't know, angry male monkey, and you don't know if it's going to attack you, you have to let go of the spaciousness.
Actually,
right?
That is where we need to improve. Now, say for example, say you are simply walking without any disturbance, without any yogis. No yogis are surrounding you, and you only there, and now you are able to prepare this mind into the emptiness. Nothing is there, very peaceful, and you can simply walk. This is one state. Now suppose now few yogis have come. They are also joining you, and they also walk. Are you able to maintain the emptiness in your mind?
Well, I have to take care of not walking across their path and be helpful to their practice.
Okay, fine. Assume that you are doing it. Are you able to now maintain your mind empty, even though they are there?
Only partially, I would say.
Only?
Only partially. Only
partially. Partially. Uh-huh.
But
So that is the improvement that we need to do. So even though they are also present, am I able to keep the mind intact, maintain the peacefulness without any damage, without any disturbance, without any interruption? But they are also there. So the practice is therefore kind of a hardening process. You know, so previously you are able to maintain the pure mind, pure consciousness, a complete emptiness without them. But when they are available, so there may be a kind of an interruption. There's a possibility to distract, but your practice is to avoid that distraction. Even though they are there, you are not supposed to go and tangle with it. Rather, maintain that purity further, like that. So that's why we need to season the practice. That's why we need to further strengthen the practice. Even amidst all these different disturbances, am I able to maintain the purity, undefiled nature of the mind, emptiness of the mind, amidst all these disturbances?
So there's a difference between the basic spaciousness and how you might direct your attention. You might need to direct your attention to other people, to objects, to.
So we probably tempt to pay our attention, but we are slowly restraining ourselves not to do so. So even though you see, it's a mere seeing. Not you are seeing a person, but it's a mere seeing. Previously there was nothing to see as such, but there is now something to see, but you are wisely handling it also. Okay, that's also mere elements. I don't need to get burdened. So let them walk. I mind my own business, maintaining the purity.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bhante, I got a personal question for you to ask, if I can. You mentioned about the four elements, and going beyond the four elements, you mentioned another two elements, like, you know, the cognitive, the conception, and the vinyana, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel I'm recognizing something. There's no, I'm not any attachment to anything, like, you know, something, no feelings coming through, but sometimes my mind, it's working, continuously working. I can feel it. Like there's someone is open the tap. Like, you know, the water is pouring all the time,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not, like, you know, using it. I'm trying to give you some examples. Mm-hmm. Like there's a washing machine. It's working, but there's no clothes, like, you know, like, you know, washing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, I'm touching there. Like, you know, it's continuously, like, you know, like kind of like, you know, it's the machine's going on. Like, you know, your heart is beating, but you don't getting into that
experience. Mm-hmm.
But this one is like, you know, always, if I try to, like, you know, put my mind into the heart, it's,
you can feel it.
Feel it.
Right.
But this one, I don't know what kind of feeling is there. Like, you know, it's continuously working.
Mm-hmm. So are you asking, what's your question?
I'm asking, is there any, like, you know, should I, like, you know, improve on my meditation, or what should I do, like, you know, or just let it go or something like that? Because it's most of the time, like, you know, it's continuously over there, like, you know, always I can feel it, like, you know, it's something working.
Working. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't stop it basically like that. So rather, so through Kayanupassana, what we are trying to do is to pay attention to the body, so it's become more and more peaceful then, and free from any complexity. And the complexity is already prepared in the mind, become then almost like washed away. They become weaker and weaker because you are giving prominence to the bodily experience. So the bodily experience is more straightforward. So that straightforward experience helps you to minimize all these complications, tanglements, and ultimately mind also becomes spacious and be with you. But hold in the body, by the way, experience in the body. So you are not completely unestablished, but you are established in the body. But that is much better than, you know, being completely distracted. So that's why in the Kayanupassana level, what we are trying to do is using the body as an anchor to this wandering mind. Now mind is not supposed to wander, imagine, fabricate. Rather, it is fairly using the body as an anchor. It's a very peaceful experience because body is very much like not complicating the mind. And basically, we can say, kind of not tangling the mind, complicating the mind, simply keeping the mind very quiet, peaceful. Such capacities there with the body. And ultimately, the body also has to be let go of. Yeah.
Bhante.
It's the Chandra.
Bhante, yeah, since we're talking about four elements now, just thought, you know, make a comment.
Uh-huh.
On during day-to-day life, you know, so it's very difficult to think about four elements.
Yeah.
So because of, mainly because of the cravings, you know, so for example, if I say, you know, if I see a car, you know, until you go and buy it, you know, so you don't think about four elements, you know, once mm-hmm. you buy it, you know, once we experience, then mm-hmm. yes, we can think about, four elements, so therefore this is also similar as the previous one. So unless we are in the, you know, with very mindful mm-hmm. State, you know, so mm-hmm. we won't be able to do it even during the practice,
mm-hmm.
that happens.
No, that's the thing. Now, before you being overwhelmed by such a desire, so you better practice, and time to time you are having a complete emptiness, for example. So you do a kind of an experiment using your own experience and what you are experiencing through the body, your nose, tongue, body and all that. And then you are doing a kind of an experiment, not yet at that level, but here at a separate laboratory level. At a laboratory level, you are doing a kind of an experiment. So while there, you are able to have a completely peaceful mind. So you understood, okay, they are merely elements, I don't need to grasp, they are worthless, and let me be peaceful. So you are experiencing complete emptiness because you understood they are merely elements. Say that experience is fairly powerful and fairly made a fair influence to your mind. Now you go out of the lab, while you are walking, while you are traveling, now you see the beautiful car. There may be a certain resistance, because you, as you said, I mean, immediately there may be a desire to buy it and to make it mine or something like that. Probably while you are going in that route, there may be a little reminder coming to you, okay, man, why are you being a fool again? I mean, can't you understand that you saw it while in the lab? So many elements. Why are you again trying to feel, I mean, behave like a fool? Like that, your insight may prompt you. So that's why in the trainee, to the trainee level, it is not guaranteed that we are fully in the non-grasping state, because still the defilements are, you know, operative in the underneath. I had a very temporary relaxation. I had only a temporary freedom. But again, once I withdraw from that, again mind become deluded. But once you are going in that deluded path, at a one instance there may be a possibility that insight may call you. Don't be a fool again, like that.
It does, but it's only for a moment. unless we continuously practice.
Exactly, that's right. So that influence, that understanding has to more and more powerful. Then only you are minimizing those ignorant moments. Till that, again and again, you being ignorantly behave because our insights are not mature enough. Can't help. So it is very well said in the Mula Pariyaya Sutta. So we are, the statement is like Ma Manyi. Ma Manyi means is like the trainee is like order in the mind. So don't do that foolish thing again. Don't be a fool again. Don't do that. I have seen it. So you have seen it, but again this fellow ignorantly go and grasp it. So he is being ashamed of that. Something like that. Because assume that you went through a 10-day retreat and you did a fairly good practice. And say after 5 days you are fully in the elements practice and you are fully in emptiness. You are so powerful and completely strong and almost floating like. And you can't remember your father, mother, daughters, son, wife, this and that, house, job, nothing is there. Right? Complete emptiness, completely peaceful. Wow. So after 10 days, you come back. Say while you are traveling, what happened again? You see a beautiful girl. Again, the fool coming and going through the same path. Then one moment you see, oh my God, fool, where are you going? Can you remember that previous experience of powerful insight you experienced? What happened to you again? You again trying to remind you. Something like that. So we have to go through such a practice, such a routine. That's the only way. So only an arahant is fully, very much like protected. Till that, still some kind of a delusion is there. Time to time, we can get trapped. Yeah. Any comments, Dhamma Alankara?
Oh, sorry, Swaminasa. Yeah, I was thinking about Swaminasa. Now, we feel different sensations when we are walking. Mm. And we notice roughness, smoothness, or liquidity kind of feelings. Mm-hmm. Likewise, we identify. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, we don't feel anything. So, mm-hmm. one sensation to other sensation, kind of a gap. Mm-hmm. We can identify. Mm-hmm. So, likewise, once yogi start to do the Chittanupassana, he also identify a gap between thoughts.
Right.
And same things yogi experience between two sensations, the gap, and two thoughts, the gap. Mm. So identify. So anyway, the yogi can be in this spacious nature, and likewise. Mm. So now Little by little, yogi can identify the canvas, identify the feel, or the picture is like this is.
Correct.
And the canvas, little, the yogi can feel there is a canvas like this, this is things.
It's a mere things. Image,
yeah.
But I was experiencing the illusion I was experiencing. Yeah. You are penetrating the artwork very much like. Now, what happened to us is that canvas... We can't see the canvas because the image, the artwork is so powerful, so beautiful. So we being fascinated about that, what is represented there in the canvas, we can't even remember it is an artwork. We take it as a reality. So with the wisdom, now you are see through it. And say there is an area, there are no much colors. Simply the original white color is still available. And now you see through, that is the canvas, the original state of the canvas. Now you say you are erasing all the other dark colors and slowly you are getting the canvas, the original look and feel of the canvas. Nothing is there.
Then Bhante Swaminasa, we face so many oscillations and so many amplitudes and seeing some beautiful pictures, beautiful things, and sometimes so many bad things. So if we have any idea about this canvas and we can go back to the canvas, and so we no need to burden from that.
I'll ask a question.
Objects
and, now say you are going to a cinema to see a movie.
Yeah.
So at that moment, there's a beautiful waterfall being shown.
Yeah.
Another occasion, a huge volcano is burning. What happened to the canvas?
We don't see the canvas and we...
No. Was it get wet? Oh, was it got burned?
No,
burned.
Nothing happened to the
nothing
canvas.
Nothing happened to the canvas. Because it's our mind is also like that. Even though a waterfall is shown, even though the volcano is shown, so if we merely see it as a volcano, merely see it as a waterfall, as a mere image, then we are penetrating it, we are see through it. What happened is we take it as so real. So while the waterfall is there, you can't see it as a picture. You feel like I am there. I am experiencing the waterfall. I am almost like in front of the waterfall. And when the volcano is there, you almost like we want to run away. Because it's the lava is coming out and so powerful, intense and all that. You want even to get out of the place because it becomes so powerful, so intense, so real. But while you are there, if you know, okay, it is a mere picture of the volcano, mere picture of the waterfall, you can't enjoy it. You are not deluded. Because for you, it's a mere image. So even like that, so whenever mind is represented, maybe a so powerful image or whatever thing, if we are very mindful, probably we can insert, okay, this is a mere image. There is no waterfall. There is no volcano. It's a mere image, mere perception. It's a mirage. No water.
Yeah, so the thing is, let's say people are working and at the end of the day they need some relax, so they want to enjoy something, then they want to watch movie or something, and if they want to enjoy, actually they want to get diluted,
exactly.
Otherwise they can't enjoy. So what's the point of practice then sometimes? Because if the that person can enjoy by looking at this canvas and no, then can release his stress. Yeah.
Can?
Yeah, then can, but takes time, no? So
yeah,
practice
true.
A lot.
That's true.
Yeah.
You can't immediately.
Yeah.
That's true. So time to time... Watching a movie is not a bad thing.
Yeah. But if we can, Swaminasa, watching this canvas and enjoy, that's the best thing now.
Time drawing, listening a song is not a bad thing. Because, you know, that's why the Buddha emphasized in the Ogatarana Sutta, you can't swim directly. You have to allow a little bit of to the current. The current is also powerful. You can't straight... penetrate it. So you have to give a little bit of current, also a kind of a momentum, and anyway you have to put some effort as well to cross to the other shore, but not directly, kind of in a diagonal way you have to move. Time to time a song, but again go and stay with the canvas. time to time a movie, again go and stay with the canvas, something like that. What to do?
So I was talking about that cinema, that things, and the that condition, Swaminasa, that people are watching the big audience and they say wow, and so then again we actually then we feel that actually this is happening at the moment. Like, we don't feel any, this is not a mirage or nothing we feel. Because other people also says wow and really nice, and so they also enjoy. So the thinking about this outer world, and people also get deluded with these four elements and this vehicle and this house and going for money, running for the money and those things. Then then what happened to the yogi? Then
that's why think he, about he also the, get distracted. Yeah. He also being carried away by the same trend, same wave. That's why, I mean, very difficult, because while the vast majority is trapped and deludedly enjoying that whole thing, how this fellow is going against the current? Very difficult. He also ultimately mixed with the same fools.
Yeah, then after 6 months or for the annual, you have to come to Nisarana and meditate and go. Yeah, but actually, if we need a good improvement, I mean, us imagine the lay person's meditation life, his situation. How should he try and give the, how, which kind
real,
of effort
real
he should...
fight. It's a real fight.
Yeah, amazing.
Because there's a huge current. Now we are talking about the current, the streams are there to wash you away, to track you away, to, you know, there are various floods. That's why Buddha talks about them as the floods. So those winds or those floods of sensuality is always there to trap you, always there to track you and to take you away. They will absorb you. That's what happened. So it's very difficult for you to escape from it and again put yourself into the other side. Because there's a higher possibility you being trapped, absorbed back, sucked back to the sensuality.
Yeah, so that means the environment, the Kalyanamitta Sampatti and Patirupa Desa was so important.
That's why at least time to time, even during the day, you have to, you know, close your eyes. Okay, I'm just sitting, I'm here now. Okay, I'm not in a dream. I'm not conceptualizing anything. So you are at least for a minute. Okay, I am here. Because otherwise we are totally in a deluded state, mind-made state. We don't know how to come out of it. Fully stressed out, fully being sucked in it. So the moment that you feel mindful, that's a moment that you are at least temporarily escaped from that conceptualized world. Almost like in the Matrix film. So you are in a dream, you are in a Matrix. So, Matrix. And time to time, you can have a sight. Oh, I'm here. Ah, what is it? Otherwise, in the Matrix. Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Kumara, do you have anything or we can wind up?
No, Bhante, nothing from this side.
Okay, I think we had a good discussion, and if there are no any more comments, I like to ask Venerable Dhammo Sadha to conduct the sharing of merits.
How wonderful it is for Swami Nahanse to give an exposition of this sutta. Much merits we have gained, and for those merits accrued, we would like to share them with our relatives. May they rejoice in our merit-making. May all devas rejoice in our merit-making. May all celestial beings protect the Dhamma exposition and the Buddha Sasana for a long time. And may these seeds of Dhamma that we have received grow, producing path, fruition, and Nibbana. I invite you all to join in the recitation of the traditional Pali verses for the sharing of merits.